If you're following along with the Immerse reading plan during this past week, you may have read through the letter. Sorry, Timothy. You may have read through the letter to Colossae. The Colossian people, Paul writes to them to help them in their Christian lives. And one of the issues that they faced was they had lost sight of the fact that God was the same, that God was unchanging, that God could be trusted in everything, as we've just sung. The folks in Colossae had lost sight of that, and they were looking for something more. There must be something else. There must be something more. And they were looking around at all sorts of philosophies and ideas and new thoughts that were coming along, because there must be something else that they're missing. And so a big reason for Paul writing to this early church was to point out to them, no, hold on a minute. You have everything you need in Jesus. Jesus is more than adequate. Jesus is supreme. And in that passage which Robert read for us, Paul sort of lays out more of what it is to look at this Jesus. Tom Wright, in his commentary in this passage, writes, Christianity isn't simply a way of being religious. There are lots of ways you can be religious. Christianity is not just a way of being religious. It's not just a different way of being holy. It's not a system of how to be saved. Christianity is all about Jesus. If you take Jesus out of the center of Christianity, everything just collapses. But it's not a system. But it's not a religious way of life. It's focused on Jesus. Paul, when he writes to the early church, says, I know whom I have believed. He doesn't say, I know what I've believed. He says, I know whom I have believed. This Jesus who is adequate and is supreme. And the folks in Colossae needed to be reminded of that, needed to learn that again, maybe, just as we do. Because we are bombarded by different ideas and philosophies and understandings, and it can fry our heads. So we need to hear again the message of this book of the Bible that simply says Jesus Christ is adequate, Jesus Christ is supreme. You are not missing anything when you focus on Jesus. As you read through this little passage from Colossians, you find that when we look at Jesus, we see the God who can't be seen. When you look at Jesus, we see the God who can't be seen. And so we simply read, the Son is the image of the invisible God. Look at Jesus and you see God. No one has ever seen God. But in Jesus, God has come close to us. God has become one of us. So if you want to know what God is like, if you want to know what this God whom we worship is like, you look to Jesus. The writer of the Hebrews puts it this way. The Son, Jesus, is the radiance of the Father's glory. He is the exact representation of his being. If you want to know what God looks like, look to Jesus. Jesus is adequate. Jesus is supreme. When we look to Jesus also, we find God's original purpose in every created thing. Sorry. There we are. My clicker's been a bit slow on it. Paul reminds us, by him, by Jesus, all things were created. Things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible. All things were created by him and for him. All things. Created by Jesus and for Jesus. So when we are bowled over by a spectacular sunset, it's all about Jesus, the Jesus who created. When we look at the beauty of the place where we live, it's all about Jesus. When you see the power of the sea as those waves pound in against the beaches and the cliffs, it's all about Jesus. It's all about Jesus. Everything was created by him and for him. Now, maybe like me, you're thinking, hold on a minute. This world is not all sweetness and light. This world's a difficult place. It's an ugly place. It's a dark place. It's not the original intention that we see around us. But God has acted to restore and recreate the world in all of its beauty. The world which was made through Jesus has now been bought back, has now been redeemed by this same Jesus. The Jesus who was firstborn over all creation, verse 15 simply says, Jesus is firstborn over all creation. Creation was there for him. He created it. He made it. It's for him. And then he's the firstborn from among the dead. He is the supreme one in recreation. So we look at this world, and in the beauty of it, we should see Jesus. And when we see the ugliness of this world, and that's not hard to do, we should know that the same Jesus has redeemed this world and is redeeming it. He is adequate. He is supreme. Paul goes on to lay out more. It's almost like reading out titles of some very important person. He says, Jesus is the head of the body of the church. He's the first to rise again from the dead. His shed blood has made peace. There's this list. He has made peace possible between us and God. Jesus has done that. And he has restored, in principle, the whole harmony of the world around us, which will only be fully realized when Jesus comes again, but it is done. And when Jesus comes again, we will see that working out. Once you were alienated from God, enemies in your mind because of your evil behavior. This is what they were back then in Colossae. This is what we were without Christ. And that is what we were, alienated enemies. Not words that we like to use about ourselves, but that's what the Bible says. Without Jesus, alienated enemies, but now, two wonderful words. Sometimes we can skip over those little words, but now, and yet they're just full of truth. But now, because of what Jesus has done, but now because of who Jesus is, but now because Jesus is adequate and supreme, he has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death to present you holy in his sight, without blemish and free from accusation. Because of Jesus, you and I are free to approach this God. Because in Jesus we're made whole, and in Jesus we are holy. The Jesus who is adequate, the Jesus who is supreme. In a few minutes we'll gather at the Lord's table and remember and reflect, look forward, look inward. And we remember that God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them. This is what God has done. God has given us all that we need in Jesus Christ. So, When we consider all of this, this is the Jesus who is adequate and supreme in all ways. The question is about our response. How do we live? What do we do? How do we respond to this supreme, adequate Jesus? The first thing is we need to open ourselves up to experience the reconciling grace of God in Jesus Christ. Knowing about the fact that Jesus is adequate is not enough. We need to experience the adequate grace of Jesus Christ in our own lives. We need to know that our sins, your sins, my sins, were paid for when Jesus died. We need to know that he's the firstborn risen from the dead. And those things need to shape our lives. Here Paul says to the folks in Colossae, continue in your faith, established and firm. Do not move from the hope held out in the gospel. How do we live? What do? Well, the first thing is we can't do nothing. We don't just simply sit back and say, that's great, thank you. It's about continuing, established and firm. Not moving off the gospel. Not looking for something else or something different or something new or something exciting, but grounding ourselves in the gospel because Jesus is adequate. Jesus is supreme. We don't need to move anywhere else, look for anything else. We need to continue in our faith. It's so easy to look back to what God has done in our lives, and that's important. But we don't live back then. The experiences of God's grace back then give us confidence to move forward because this God is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow, unfailing in his faithfulness and his grace. We move forward. Salvation, we work out our salvation, continues each day. We don't move from the ground of the gospel. Because if Jesus is adequate, and Jesus is sufficient, and Jesus is supreme, where else would you go? Where else would you go? There was a time when disciples were just gradually walking away from Jesus. John's Gospel, chapter 6. Disciples are just quietly walking away. Maybe it's getting too demanding. Maybe it's challenging them too much. They're gradually just fading away. And Jesus looks at Peter and says, Peter, are you going to slip away as well? And Peter simply says, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Where else would we go? And Peter is just almost gobsmacked with this. But you have the words of eternal life, Jesus. Where else are we going to go? All these other ideas and theories and chats and philosophies, and it's great, but you alone have the words of eternal life. Where do you go? Are you still looking for that something else, that something more, that something different? Or have you found the truth of Scripture, that his grace is sufficient, that he is more than adequate, that he is supreme? As in a minute or two we gather around this table to celebrate the Lord's Supper, to remember his death, his resurrection, and the fact that he will return, it brings us back to that point that this is all about Jesus. It's not about being religious. It's not about saying and doing the right things, being in the right place at the right time. It's about Jesus and our relationship with him. The one who died for us so that we might be brought back home. It's all about Jesus. Let's pray together. Father, forgive us that in so many ways we have made our faith about so many other things. And bring us back, we pray, to that place where we know that the essence of our faith, the core of our faith, the heart of our faith is Jesus. And then help us always to turn our eyes upon him, to worship him, to reflect his grace wherever you place us. And all this we ask in his wonderful name. Amen.